It's time again on a Saturday morning from Haskell's Ted Farrell with another wine chat. Good morning, Ted.
Hey, Denny, how are you doing today?
I am well. What a weekend. Now, a lot of these meteorologists and folks, weather folks, will say this is the unofficial end of summer. But you know what? The way things have been going lately, I bet summer's going to be around for a while. What do you think?
I don't have any scientific knowledge on that department, but I think we're moving into our two best months, September and October, as far as just wonderful temperatures. Eventually, the leaves start changing. It's so great to be a Minnesotan. All the bugs are dead. I mean, it's just a great time of the year to be a Minnesotan, that's for sure.
All the bugs are dead. Yeah, I'm with you on that. What can we chat about this morning, Ted?
Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about a very kind of often overlooked region of France called the Languedoc. Now, the Languedoc is down in the south of France, right on the Mediterranean Ocean, and extends from the western side of the Rhone Valley all the way over to the Pyrenees Mountains. It's a large spread of area, and it's actually one of the areas that produces some of the most wine in all of France, but it's, again, often overlooked simply because of that. They make so much. I mean, about 10 years ago, that one region made more wine than the entire United States of America. It's truly incredible. And it has a rich, rich history, like all of France. But, I mean, they have documents that take winemaking back to when the Greeks were there and then also when the Romans were there. They're kind of the capital of it is either Montpellier or a town called Nîmes. And Nîmes is a very interesting town because their town logo is a palm tree with a crocodile on a chain attached to it. And the reason being, this area is so old, that Caesar Augustus bequeathed land to all of his Roman legionaries that fought Cleopatra and Mark Antony in Egypt, this area. So if they served well, they'd get a little parcel of land and they lived up there. And the first thing the Romans, anytime they did, was show up and start planting vines. So it's a rich, rich history. Abundant with wines, but their biggest problem is they maybe didn't have a good ad firm or a press department the way the Bordelais have. No one's heard of many of these estates, and there's grand estates all throughout the Languedoc region. And the nice thing about it is their climate is so diverse, where you can get nice cool evenings, so it can grow Pinot Noir and Chardonnay very well. But a few miles inland, you can grow Cabernet or Syrah because it gets so hot. So they have great varietals galore on there, and they just wonderful, big, powerful wines. But again, these estates that are out there, need a better publicity department. And so here's the hook. We found a fella named Paul Moss, and his family has been making wines down there for generations. And he kind of figured it out where he realized he couldn't show off his estates per se because it just didn't translate very well. It wasn't like a Chateau Lafite Rothschild. People just don't understand it. So he realized for the American market, what he did is he pulled these wines off and bottled them individually, and he started one of his estates is called La Forge. And La Forge, he started producing just single varietal wines. So he has a Cabernet, a Chardonnay, a Merlot. You go through the whole litany, and they're just brilliant, brilliant wines, and most importantly, very affordable. But the nice thing about those single vineyard wines, or those single varietal wines like that, are so terrific because I kind of call these wines kind of your cellar builder, where they're affordable. They're about $14 or less, and you can buy a whole case, and now you have some terrific Chardonnay, some terrific Pinot Noir ready and rearing for you. But the Languedoc region is so powerful. I mean, they, in the 18th century, used to produce almost all of France wines throughout the country. And so if you're in Paris or whatnot, the wines you were drinking were from the Languedoc, but they're always just kind of inexpensive wines for the working people. And so that's where they maybe were looked down upon because it didn't have the pedigree of Bordeaux or the history that Burgundy had, even though they're just wonderful, rich wines. And the crazy thing is, if you're out and about today, we're doing a thing at Haskell's called Saturdays, where you can come in and try those La Forge wines. But the Languedoc region is just a wonderful area, beautiful topography, and then you're overlooking the Mediterranean, but it's often a forgotten area as well.
Well, you know, that's interesting, Ted. I don't know if we've ever talked about that before. And what's also interesting, not only are those prices reasonable, they produce more wine than all of the U.S.
You are correct. I mean, it's just amazing the amount of wine. And one of the great varietals that, in my opinion, is the best out of that entire selection is the Viognier. Now, Viognier is often used in the Rhone Valley as a blending kind of wine into the whites. And believe it or not, it even gets blended into the red in the area called Côte Rôtie, where they put maybe about 5% of Viognier in there. But Paul Moss's expression of Viognier is one of the best Viogniers I've ever had, period. It is wonderful characteristic up front. There's a little bit of, like, say, cantaloupe melon in the nose to it. And then it finishes off nice and smooth. And the body on it, there's a little bit of viscosity to it. There's a little bit of character. So on your palate, there's a great mouthfeel to it. And it is one of the best expressions of Viognier that we have to offer at Haskell's.
You know, I'm thinking about not to rush the season, but, you know, the holidays are not all that far off. And every year, you know, we've always talked about what great wine goes with turkey, for example. Do they have such a thing there that would be like a Chenin Blanc or something?
Well, come on, Daddy. We're just getting into winter. All of a sudden, you're planning your Christmas dinner.
Talk about a wet blanket.
Well, either that or you're just very planned out. I mean, geez, what are you doing on New Year's, man? with that,
I'm getting,
you know,
ready.
Generally, well, go ahead.
No. You go ahead, please.
Well, with turkey, we generally recommend Chenin Blanc. They do make a very small amount, but we didn't import that just because we like their other great varietals that they have, the Chardonnay, the Viognier that I mentioned. They make a very lovely, crisp Sauvignon Blanc. Now, with some of these, though, you could match that Viognier up to a turkey because of the unique flavor and the nice characteristics of it. So all those listeners out there planning their Christmas dinner already, maybe grab a bottle of that Viognier and see what life has to offer.
You know, Ted, I heard earlier on CBS this morning they were talking about Labor Day weekend and all the festivities and grilling, a lot of grilling. Is there anything that you can that we can match, not necessarily steak, but something that we can grill and pair with something from that region?
Oh, for sure. Because their varietals that they make are so diverse and they're all across the board, they also make a Syrah. And that Syrah is just, you know, made for the American palate. There's a lot of oomph to it. There's some rich body to it. But then there's that spicy finish to it, a little bit of pepperiness to it, similar to, say, a Malbec or a Zinfandel. So the LaForge Syrah will do wonders if you're grilling, you know, it just goes well with that charring of any meat, whether it is salmon or, you know, if you do throw a couple big steaks on there or, you know, simply just some bratwurst if you just need something to wash it down. The Syrah is wonderful, but again, they have a Cabernet, which is very big, very robust. You know, people love it. Couldn't tell you how many customers I've turned that on to, and that becomes their go-to Cabernet Monday through Friday, just something big and delicious. But they also make a very, very elegant Pinot Noir that could match up to even some of the greatest Bourgogne Rouges, as far as it's very simple, very easy, have that kind of black cherry notes to it. Wonderful wine that's simple, easy, and ready to drink. And that, you know, with all these wines we kind of touched on, you don't have that price tag inhibition where sometimes if you spend a lot of money on a wine and maybe you don't like it because of this, that, the other thing, you kind of feel bad. But these wines is just one of those wines you open up, you drink, you enjoy. You don't feel bad when you see a lot of bottles in the recycle bin, and they're just delicious.
Ted, this is nothing to do with what you've been talking about, except you pronounced it Syrah. Is that the correct pronunciation? I've never heard
Syrah.
It said quite that way.
Not to be, it's the same grape varietal, but there's also Shiraz, but it's the same grape varietal. So it's Syrah, S-Y-R-A-H, Syrah. And so that is the blending varietal that has been going on. You know, you see it up and down the Rhone Valley. You see it all throughout the Languedoc. And then you're even seeing some expressions coming out of even the United States or all around the world with the Syrah. But yes, it's, yeah, K-Syrah, Syrah.
And you mentioned the Viognier, the blending grape. It seemed to me over the years, maybe 20 years, that it wasn't a blending grape like Grenache. And now you're seeing that all over as well, right? Didn't that just used to be a blending grape?
Well, it's one of the most abundantly planted grapes throughout Europe. And, you know, people are deciding, you know, before they would use the village it came from, the region it came from, it was just red wine from that. And people are kind of getting into the varietals and learning more about wine. And that's what's so terrific about the wine world, is that there's so many people out there just willing to learn. And they hear about a great varietal like a Grenache or a Viognier, and they tried it and they really liked it. And they kind of do their research as far as looking up maybe in a book or two, or going to find two or three other Viogniers to compare that to. It's really a renaissance time for the wine industry, because people are so excited and willing to try new things and try that. So, you know, it started in Spain a little bit, where they started showing everybody, hey, this is Grenache, and that's the same as Grenache. And then, so they're using a little bit more varietal specific information, where in old days, it was just, hey, that's the wine from this town. Now that people are realizing, people want more information on the labels, and, you know, will produce or put that on there saying, hey, this is 100% Grenache.
I know our time is drawing to a close here, but maybe folks, Ted, that joined us a little bit late, give us some ideas of what to look for. When somebody stops into Haskell's, said, I heard Ted talking about this particular region of France. What wines can people ask for when they come into Haskell's?
Well, they can ask for pretty near any wines, because we have a lot of them without a doubt. But today in all of our stores, we have our little event going on called Satter Taste. And with that, we have all the wines of LaForge Winery open for tasting, whether it's a Chardonnay, Pinot, that Viognier we talked about, to try and open up and broaden everyone's horizons. The wines that came from the Languedoc, but we have wines from throughout the world, for people to roll up their sleeves and enjoy. And just a quick friendly reminder, it's the last weekend of our summer sale, so it's a great time to stock up. You know, it's more importantly for the parents, it's back to school for the parents, so load up on some wine and get those kids on the bus and have a good party once they leave. So here we go. And then, you know, there's Haskell's all throughout the metro area. There's a Haskell's in downtown with lots of free parking, Haskell's out in across from the Ridgedale Shopping Center, Haskell's in St. Paul's Highland Village, Haskell's down in Bloomington. We have a Haskell's out in White Bear Lake if you're out that way, or Stillwater if you plan on going up and down the St. Croix River. We also have a Haskell's in Plymouth, Haskell's in Faribault. Our super cellar at Maple Grove is not to be missed. Or if you're out on the lake one last time, Lake Minnetonka, stop into Haskell's in downtown Excelsior and load up and stock up. And if you can't do any of that, well, we're always open 24/7 at Haskell's.com.
Absolutely. A texter said this, Ted. Can you tell me again about the wine tasting today?
Well, in all the stores, we have the LaForge wines. We call it Satter Taste, and all the LaForge wines will be open and ready for anybody to come in and try. So it's a great way to try a couple of new cab or that Viognier or Sauvignon Blanc. And, you know, the best way to do it is to learn about wine. We always say you need an open mind and an open mouth. So come on in with that open mouth and try those LaForge wines.
And, Ted, maybe next week we can talk about Christmas gift-giving, something like that.
Well, I thought we were maybe talking about Easter. We're so ahead of schedule.
Get that. Okay, we won't go there. But, Ted, let's do this again next week. What do you say?
I look forward to it.
All right, thanks so much. Ted Farrell from Haskell's. Get those lawn and garden questions ready. Who's going to be with us answering those lawn and garden questions next hour? Mary Meyer from the U of M. We're already starting to get text messages from our listeners. Lawn and garden questions next hour here on CCO. Beautiful weekend, Labor Day weekend. Sunny skies today. We expect highs near 85, the warm day of the weekend. If you're heading to the state fair, you are in luck. 73 the high tomorrow, 74 the high on Monday. Stay with us on CCO. It's time again on a Saturday morning from Haskell's, Ted Farrell with another wine chat. Good morning, Ted.
Hey, Denny, how are you doing today?
I am well. What a weekend. Now, a lot of these meteorologists and folks, weather folks, will say this is the unofficial end of summer. But you know what? The way things have been going lately, I bet summer's going to be around for a while. What do you think?
I don't have any scientific knowledge on that department, but I think we're moving into our two best months, September and October, as far as just wonderful temperatures. Eventually, you know, the leaves start changing. It's so great to be a Minnesotan. All the bugs are dead. I mean, it's just a great time of the year to be a Minnesotan, that's for sure.
All the bugs are dead. Yeah, I'm with you on that. What can we chat about this morning, Ted?
Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about a very kind of often overlooked region of France called the Languedoc. Now, the Languedoc is down in the south of France, right on the Mediterranean Ocean, and extends from the western side of the Rhone Valley all the way over to the Pyrenees Mountains. It's a large spread of area, and it's actually one of the areas that produces some of the most wine in all of France, but it's, again, often overlooked simply because of that. They make so much. I mean, about 10 years ago, that one region made more wine than the entire United States of America. It's truly incredible. And it has a rich, rich history, like all of France. But, I mean, they have documents that take winemaking back to when the Greeks were there and then also when the Romans were there. There is kind of the capital of it is either Montpellier or a town called Nîmes. And Nîmes is a very interesting town because their town logo is a palm tree with a crocodile on a chain attached to it. And the reason being, this area is so old that Caesar Augustus bequeathed land to all of his Roman legionaries that fought Cleopatra and Mark Antony in Egypt, this area. So if they served well, they'd get a little parcel of land and they lived up there. And the first thing the Romans, anytime they did, was show up and, you know, start planting vines. So it's a rich, rich history, abundant with wines. But their biggest problem is they maybe didn't have a good ad firm or a press department the way the Bordelais have. You know, no one's heard of many of these estates, and there's grand estates all throughout the Languedoc region. And the nice thing about it is their climate is so diverse, where you can get nice cool evenings, so it can grow Pinot Noir and Chardonnay very well. But a few miles inland, you can grow Cabernet or Syrah because it gets so hot. So they have great varietals galore on there, and they just wonderful, big, powerful wines. But again, these estates that are out there, you know, need a better publicity department. And so here's the hook. We found a fella named Paul Moss, and his family has been making wines down there for generations. And he kind of figured it out where he realized he couldn't show off his estates per se because it just didn't translate very well. It wasn't like a Chateau Lafite Rothschild. You know, people just didn't understand it. So he realized for the American market, what he did is he pulled these wines off and bottled them individually, and he started one of his estates is called La Forge. And La Forge, he started producing just single varietal wines. So he has a Cabernet, a Chardonnay, a Merlot. You go through the whole litany, and they're just brilliant, brilliant wines, and most importantly, very affordable. But the nice thing about those single vineyard wines, or those single varietal wines like that, are so terrific because I kind of call these wines kind of your cellar builder, where they're affordable. They're about $14 or less, and you can buy a whole case, and now you have some terrific Chardonnay, some terrific Pinot Noir ready and rearing for you. But the Languedoc region is so powerful. I mean, they, in the 18th century, used to produce almost all of France wines throughout the country. And so if you're in Paris or whatnot, the wines you were drinking were from the Languedoc, but they're always just kind of inexpensive wines for the working people. And so that's where they maybe were looked down upon because it didn't have the pedigree of Bordeaux or the history that Burgundy had, even though they're just wonderful, rich wines. And the crazy thing is, if you're out and about today, we're doing a thing at Pascal's called Saturdays, where you can come in and try those Laforge wines. But the Languedoc region is just a wonderful area, beautiful topography, and then you're overlooking the Mediterranean, but it's often a forgotten area as well.
Well, you know, that's interesting, Ted. I don't know if we've ever talked about that before. What's also interesting, not only are those prices reasonable, they produce more wine than all of the U.S.
You are correct. I mean, it's just amazing the amount of wine. And one of the great varietals that, in my opinion, is the best out of that entire selection is the Viognier. Now, Viognier is often used in the Rhone Valley as a blending kind of wine into the whites. And believe it or not, it even gets blended into the red in the area called Côte Rôtie, where they put maybe about 5% of Viognier in there. But Paul Moss's expression of Viognier is one of the best Viogniers I've ever had, period. It is wonderful characteristic up front. There's a little bit of, like, say, cantaloupe melon in the nose to it, and then it finishes off nice and smooth. And the body on it, there's a little bit of viscosity to it. There's a little bit of character. So on your palate, there's a great mouthfeel to it. And it is one of the best expressions of Viognier that we have to offer at Haskell's.
You know, I'm thinking about not to rush the season, but, you know, the holidays are not all that far off. And every year, you know, we've always talked about what great wine goes with turkey, for example. Do they have such a thing there that would be like a Chenin Blanc or something?
Well, come on, Danny, we're just getting into winter. All of a sudden, you're planning your Christmas dinner.
Jeez, talk about a wet blanket.
Well, either that or you're just very planned out. I mean, geez, what are you doing on New Year's, man? with that,
I'm getting,
you know,
ready.
Generally, well, go ahead.
No. You go ahead, please.
Well, with turkey, we generally recommend Chenin Blanc. They do make a very small amount, but we didn't import that just because we like their other great varietals that they have, the Chardonnay, the Viognier that I mentioned. They make a very lovely, crisp Sauvignon Blanc. Now, with some of these, though, you could match that Viognier up to a turkey because of the unique flavor and the nice characteristics of it. So all those listeners out there planning their Christmas dinner already, maybe grab a bottle of that Viognier and see what life has to offer.
You know, Ted, I heard earlier on CBS this morning they were talking about Labor Day weekend and all the festivities and grilling, a lot of grilling. Is there anything that you can that we can match, not necessarily steak, but something that we can grill and pair with something from that region?
Oh, for sure. Because their varietals that they make are so diverse, and they're all across the bar. They also make a Syrah, and that Syrah is just, you know, made for the American palate. There's a lot of oomph to it. There's some rich body to it. But then there's that spicy finish to it, a little bit of pepperiness to it, similar to, say, a Malbec or a Zinfandel. So the LaForge Syrah will do wonders if you're grilling. You know, it just goes well with that charring of any meat, whether it is salmon or, you know, if you do throw a couple big steaks on there, or, you know, simply just some bratwurst. If you just need something to wash it down, the Syrah is wonderful. But again, they have a Cabernet, which is very big, very robust. You know, people love it. Couldn't tell you how many customers I've turned that on to, and that becomes their go-to Cabernet Monday through Friday, just something big and delicious. But they also make a very, very elegant Pinot Noir that could match up to even some of the greatest Bourgogne Rouges, as far as it's very simple, very easy, have that kind of black cherry notes to it. Wonderful wine that's simple, easy, and ready to drink. And that, you know, with all these wines we kind of touched on, you don't have that price tag inhibition, where sometimes if you spend a lot of money on a wine and maybe you don't like it because of this, that, the other thing, you kind of feel bad. But these wines is just one of those wines you open up, you drink, you enjoy. You don't feel bad when you see a lot of bottles in the recycle bin, and they're just delicious.
Ted, this is nothing to do with what you've been talking about, except you pronounced it Syrah. Is that the correct pronunciation? I've never heard
Syrah
it said quite that way.
It's the same grape varietal, but there's also Shiraz, but it's the same grape varietal. So it's Syrah, S-Y-R-A-H, Syrah. And So that is the blending varietal that has been going on. You know, you see it up and down the Rhone Valley. You see it all throughout the Languedoc. And then you're even seeing some expressions coming out of even the United States or all around the world with the Syrah. But yes, it's, yeah, K-Syrah, Syrah.
And you mentioned the Viognier, the blending grape. It seemed to me over the years, maybe 20 years, that it wasn't a blending grape like Grenache. And now you're seeing that all over as well, right? Didn't that just used to be a blending grape?
Well, it's one of the most abundantly planted grapes throughout Europe. And, you know, people are deciding, you know, before they would use the village it came from, the region it came from, it was just red wine from that. And people are kind of getting into the varietals and learning more about wine. And that's what's so terrific about the wine world, is that there's so many people out there just willing to learn. And they hear about a great varietal like a Grenache or a Viognier, and they tried it and they really liked it. And they kind of do their research as far as looking up maybe in a book or two, or going to find two or three other Viogniers to compare that to. It's really a renaissance time for the wine industry because people are so excited and willing to try new things and try that. So, you know, it started in Spain a little bit where they started showing everybody, hey, this is Grenache, and that's the same as Grenache. And then so they're using a little bit more varietal specific information, where in the other day, in old days, it was just, hey, that's the wine from this town. Now that people are realizing people want more information on the labels, and, you know, will produce or put that on there saying, hey, this is 100% Grenache.
I know our time is drawing to a close here, but maybe folks, Ted, that joined us a little bit late, give us some ideas of what to look for. When somebody stops into Haskell's, said, I heard Ted talking about this particular region of France. What wines can people ask for when they come into Haskell's?
Well, they can ask for pretty near any wines because we have a lot of them without a doubt. But today in all of our stores, we have our little event going on called Satter Taste. And with that, we have all the wines of LaForge Winery open for tasting, whether it's a Chardonnay, Pinot, that Viognier we talked about, to try and open up and broaden everyone's horizons. The wines that came from the Languedoc, but we have wines from throughout the world for people to roll up their sleeves and enjoy. And just a quick friendly reminder, it's the last weekend of our summer sale, so it's a great time to stock up. You know, it's more importantly for the parents, it's back to school for the parents. So load up on some wine and get those kids on the bus and have a good party once they leave. So here we go. And then, you know, there's Haskell's all throughout the metro area. There's a Haskell's in downtown with lots of free parking. Haskell's out in across from the Ridgedale Shopping Center. Haskell's in St. Paul's Highland Village. Haskell's down in Bloomington. We have a Haskell's out in White Bear Lake if you're out that way, or Stillwater if you plan on going up and down the St. Croix River. We also have a Haskell's in Plymouth, Haskell's in Faribault. Our super cellar at Maple Grove is not to be missed. Or if you're out on the lake one last time, Lake Minnetonka, stop into Haskell's in downtown Excelsior and load up and stock up. And if you can't do any of that, well, we're always open 24/7 at Haskell's.com.
Absolutely. A texter said this, Ted. Can you tell me again about the wine tasting today?
Well, in all the stores, we have the LaForge wines. We call it Satter Taste, and all the LaForge wines will be open and ready for anybody to come in and try. So it's a great way to try a couple of new cab or that Viognier or Sauvignon Blanc. And the best way to do it is to learn about wine. We always say you need an open mind and an open mouth. So come on in with that open mouth and try those LaForge wines.
And Ted, maybe next week we can talk about Christmas gift giving, something like that.
Well, I thought we were maybe talking about Easter. We're so ahead of schedule.
Get that. Okay, we won't go there. But Ted, let's do this again next week. What do you say?
I look forward to it.
All right, thanks so much. Ted Farrell from Haskell's. Get those lawn and garden questions ready. Who's going to be with us answering those lawn and garden questions next hour? Mary Meyer from the U of M. We're already starting to get text messages from our listeners. Lawn and garden questions next hour here on CCO. Beautiful weekend, Labor Day weekend. Sunny skies today. We expect highs near 85, the warm day of the weekend. If you're heading to the State Fair, you are in luck. 73 the high tomorrow, 74 the high on Monday. Stay with us on CCO.